Welcome to another episode of the Infamous Podcast. This is your host, Johnny.
I'm Brian.
And I'm here with Brian.
This is Brian.
He forgot where he was for a minute, so I took over.
Welcome. This is episode 65. That's a lot of episodes.
Did you title it? I don't know if you did.
I called it Soul Vampire. I don't know if I'm sticking with that or not.
Wow.
So, because it's all about our
Why
good...
Why not Rogue Vampire?
Ooh, that's a good there one. There you go. So, it's all about Angelus, the 200-year-old vampire pervert.
Wow.
Well, think about it. We'll get to that when we talk about it.
Wow.
Anyway, but the first thing first off, hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah? You've had a rough week.
And
it's not over yet.
The week has only begun.
All right. So today, Thursday, as we record, as always on Thursdays, the Rogue One trailer dropped this morning. The final Rogue One trailer. So I'm sure we'll get like two or three more TV spots.
The rest of the movie.
Yeah. But man, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
You actually got to see Darth Vader.
And so I think you may have undersold or underpredicted how much he's going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
But
he's coming in at the end and he's going to kill Krennic and then he's going to, you know, Moff Tarkin will be in the background somewhere.
Yeah. He's going to kill Papa Erso.
Yeah. Maybe.
So.
Maybe.
But I tell you what, man, the more I see of Felicity Jones as Jen Erso, the more excited I get for this character. You know, Diego Luna.
Yeah.
He gets a little more in here, which is good. Donnie Yen.
You know, you get to see a little bit more of everybody.
Yeah,
really.
I was sold on Donnie Yen anyway because Ip or IP Man, however you say it, is really good. Yeah, and then Riz Ahmed, who's the one who came up with the call sign
in the
trailer.
He's the tech guy. Yeah,
he was the one from The Night Of.
He's the
on
IT
HBO,
guy.
Right? But no, he was in the limited series that was, and he was amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then we were talking before we started recording, Ben Mendelsohn, who's the Krennic, or Orson Krennic, right?
Yeah.
He was from the Netflix original series Bloodline, which I really liked him in. So, yeah.
He's the screwed up brother.
Yes. He's the
screwed up one who got away.
He's the super criminal brother.
Oh, well, so, super criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because he had built a damn Death Star.
Yeah. Bastard. No, like everything about this, we got a really great look at the U-Wing little freighter thing.
I want an explanation where they're getting all these damn different ships.
I'm hoping the U-Wing is just kind of a one-off.
Yeah.
Like it's the only one that
I guess
existed,
the only one
right?
they built.
All right, just real quick predictions of the... Like the whatever the six main rebels, including K2SO.
They all die.
Did any of them survive?
Maybe like two survive. It's gonna be Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
So
I see Jen dying.
Yeah.
I really do see that character doesn't have a shelf life after this movie.
No. And the thing is,
it would make a sense if Diego Luna's character survives.
Yeah.
Because he kind of could be intricate to, you know. He was at other battles.
Or Saw Gerrera
survives,
you know, just with even less body parts. I'm going to plead with Gareth Edwards. I know the movie's done filming and it's in post-production and everything.
Yeah.
But this needs to be a completely self-contained story.
Yeah.
Like in Lucas films and you know, I trust in the Disney Lucas films thing.
See,
right?
I think like the end of it, you're going to see the plans being transmitted to the Tanta 4.
Yeah.
And like maybe they'll cast somebody as a young Leia.
Well, I mean, they have the HD footage from the movie. I mean, it could be, I mean, they do amazing things with
but I mean, you know if CG. They're doing a young Han Solo movie and a young Boba Fett movie.
And a Yoda movie, apparently.
And a Yoda movie,
announced.
You have to count on them just recasting Princess Leia.
I hope.
It's not that hard to put two buns on a person's head and go, hey, look, it's Princess Leia.
I really, really hope that they don't go forward with the Boba Fett movie.
Really?
Like what they did on Clone Wars for Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Was more than enough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. like it's the whole like Wolverine Origins thing, right?
Yeah.
The more we get to know about Boba Fett, the less interesting.
If they continued it off of Clone Wars, though, would you be more interested? Like, maybe. If they had Daniel Logan come in,
that would be cool. But yeah. I don't think they will.
See, I think that they would because he's still, you know, he's in his 20s. Yeah. So it's like it still would make sense to have him come back if he's playing Boba Fett somewhere in his 20s or 30s.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's, you know,
whatever. But
they'd have to tie it to something that ties to the history of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the bounty has to be something that, you know.
It can't just be Han Solo.
Right. It has to be something that, you know, deals with the Death Star or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And then the last thing about Rogue One is Michael Giacchino. Giacchino's music is just so.
Yeah, I don't know if that was his, but that was really good.
Yeah. I mean, like the music in all of the trailers has been spot on. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely, like, has, like, the feels, you know? Mm-hmm. I was watching a video about why...
Yeah, uses Williams themes, mm-hmm. but changes them.
Yeah.
The same as Giacchino did with Star Trek, where he did use, you know, Alexander Courage's Star Trek theme.
Right.
He just added to it.
There was a great video...
John Williams isn't going to live forever.
No.
So, you know, you got to have somebody who's going to be able to take his place. Yeah.
But like I was gonna say, there was a great video about like the iconic music and why the Marvel movies, like you can't like just hum the Avengers theme off the top of your head.
Actually,
most people. Because
that's the easiest one. If people wanna complain about that, mm-hmm. I can see it like with Iron Man because there's not much music in Iron Man.
Well, there's not much music in any of the Marvel movies.
Thor has a full complete theme.
It does, but like you know what I'm saying. They tone the music down, right? They don't have a lot of silence.
Movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean Star Wars is an action movie.
Star Wars is a science fiction movie.
Anyway. No,
there is a difference between a sci-fi action movie and an action movie.
Not true.
And I mean, and it's not an 80s action movie where you had a Michael Caine or, you know, a Basil Poldaris.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that where they were bringing in these heavy themes.
Yeah.
It's modern action movies and there's not a lot of music in modern action movies.
I don't know. It was just a really good video cuz it talked about like Star Wars, Superman, Harry Potter, how like people can just do those off the top of their head.
Harry Potter is not an action movie. Superman, what? Superman the movie?
Yeah, the 70s Superman.
Okay, well, there you go. It's John Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
No, like I said, it was just interesting.
And
the music.
Harry Potter's John Williams.
The thing is,
when they do this argument, the only person they point out is John Williams. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's other people that composed music.
Yeah.
And it's the same as the movie posters. The art has gone away from it.
Yeah.
And you know, there's still a couple guys around that, I mean, Alan Silvestri did the music for Captain America.
Right.
And the first Avengers movie, and you can hum the tunes to mm-hmm. those if you've watched the movies more than once.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's just, you know, he did iconic themes.
Right. But like I'm saying, it was just a thing on the street. So, they were talking to casual fans, you know. So, but no, it's interesting. But the music in this could very well end up being its own character.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. All right.
I mean, you're going to have your iconic themes because Vader's in there, so you're going to get the... Imperial March at some point or some tone of the Imperial March. You're going to get some tone of the Rebel themes, the X-Wing fighters. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some Death Star type, you know, music in that. But
right.
I mean, you know, people complain about stuff that's just waste of time complaining.
Yeah, it wasn't. They weren't complaining. It was just kind of, it was like I said, it was just a cool little experiment.
Just somebody going out and saying, hey, can you have the theme to Superman? And then people are like, which one?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the thing is, in this day and age, which Superman movie are you talking about? At least if you say, can I hum the theme to Captain America?
Yeah.
You know, there's one Captain America movie that, you know, was an actual theatrical release. And that, the other ones kind of went straight to TV and video. So,
yeah. Like you, when they were talking about that, it was like, I was actually humming the Avengers theme as they asked for it. So, all right, let's get down to business. Last week we talked about Buffy.
Yes.
So it only makes sense that this week we talk
about her boyfriend.
About her boyfriend, Angel, or as I like to call the world's saddest puppy vampire.
That's Spike.
No. Spike finds joy in things even after he gets his soul.
Even after he gets his soul.
You know, he still finds joy in things because he realizes how fleeting a moment of true happiness is.
Right.
Angel is the brooding Cro-Magnon, you know, main character.
I think because of what Angel was before he was a vampire and what Spike was before he was a vampire. It's like, Spike's enjoying life where Angel was an asshole before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a vampire. So it's just carries over that he's going to be guilty for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So I totally.
Plus, I don't remember. Did Spike kill his family?
I don't. His mom.
But Angel killed his entire family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, Spike only had his mom, remember? And he loved her because he wanted to turn her.
Right.
And then she was like, you're an idiot. Because I think he did turn her.
Right.
And she's like, ha, you're a moron. Why would I want to stay with you, you simpering little wuss? I thought this came out later than it did. It was 99.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking 2001 for some reason.
No, it was the year graduation happened on Buffy.
Yeah. So
Angel graduated to his own TV series with Cordelia.
You know, the first season of Angel is an interesting one.
It's a lot of bad episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It introduces, you know, we have Angel. Cordelia ends up down there. Cordelia Chase.
Yeah.
The lovely and lovely
Charisma
Carpenter.
Yeah.
And then you get Doyle, who was Mark on Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the actor's name. I did not write it down.
You son of a bitch.
No. Anyway, but I can pull it up real quick. But no, Glenn Quinn.
Glenn Quinn, yeah.
So, who, as Doyle, was half demon, or no, he was all demon. Or no, he was half. Demon, you're right.
Yeah.
Half demon, half human. And that was the first time we really saw that.
Yeah, well, it was that whole thing where in the first episode he says he's human and then he sneezes and
you see the spikes.
And shows his demon side.
I loved Doyle.
Yeah.
He was selfish and he was flawed, but he also like saw something in Angel and was all in.
Right.
You know? And in the final episode that Colin was in, Colin. That Glenn was in was he and Cordelia are trying to make a commercial for Angel's Angel Investigations, right? And the cue card says our rates are low, and he says it as our rats are low.
Uh-huh.
And so that's just something that stuck with me, and it's like a little thing. It's like, oh well, their rats are low, you know. but their services are good.
I think he had some problems outside.
He had drug issues. He's passed dead, away. Yeah.
This show might be a little bit cursed.
Yeah. He'd actually died in 2002.
Well, and Andy Hallett's dead too.
Well, and he died of, was it?
I don't remember.
Anyway,
I just remember meeting him.
Yeah, he was. Andy Hallett's character was awesome, Lorne. Yeah. But anyway, no. But season one, you know, it did what it needed to do as far as introducing, Wolfram and Hart.
Yeah,
we got Christian Kane's character Lindsay.
Yep.
You know. There was you got the growth of Cordelia. She got the visions, you know.
Yeah, that was the thing that Doyle had the power to have visions mm-hmm. of what might happen.
Right.
And that, and when he sacrificed himself in his last episode, he passed that on to Cordelia.
Right.
And then that was pretty much, you know, the way that they were getting cases from then on was Cordelia had flashes.
So because at that midpoint, too, we get reintroduced to Wesley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wesley the Watcher, who
wasn't a watcher anymore.
No, he was expelled from the order, if you will.
Yeah.
And. But no, what are you reading?
I was looking at Andy Hallett's trivia.
Oh, all right. But no, so it was this definite like freak of the week thing, right? That I didn't feel like they needed to do because Buffy had already handled like the freak of the week stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Angel took longer than it needed to as a spinoff to get into its story, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it's still like, I still enjoy it. I actually enjoy it, like, especially seasons 3, 4, and 5. I enjoy more than
3,
Buffy.
3, 4, and 5 is like almost a continuing story.
Yeah.
I mean, really, 2 through 5 is a continuing story because that's when did Darla come on season 2?
Yeah, 3? So Darla comes back in season 2.
Yeah.
And then Drusilla comes back for a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, you have them working with
Wolfram
Lindsay and Christian Kane's character, Lindsay, and working with the Wolf, the Ram, and the Heart. But they did such a good job there keeping what Wolfram and Heart really was.
Yeah.
Like, kind of under wraps when Lila was introduced. The evil she lawyer. you know, human evil, you know, which was the interesting thing too, right?
Like, was it was a bunch of humans working for her?
It was the fact that the humans were the most evil bunch of them all.
Yeah.
I have to also say that I enjoyed Angel's Scooby Gang better. Because they actually got a chance to grow and develop as characters, where, you know, Xander was like, Xander changed over time, but he was always a caricature of Xander, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was never allowed to fully mature.
Okay.
Willow changed over time, but she was still always insecure and not quite sure of herself.
Yeah.
You know, even at the height of her power. Whereas like Cordelia Chase turned into a three-dimensional character.
Yeah.
Wesley turned into a three-dimensional character.
Right.
They introduced characters like Fred and Gunn. Like, Gunn very easily could have
been
a
Gunn shows
throw.
Up in the first season
as
a recurring character, but, and then eventually becomes a regular.
Gunn could have been a throwaway character, right? Or he could have just been the, you know, the street tough black guy who, you know, shows up and kills vampires every now and then.
Right.
But no, he turns into this guy who, you know, learns how to think and use his head and his street smarts, not just his muscles. You know, he gets to the point where he gets actual knowledge.
Right.
And then when he starts to lose it, it's heartbreaking.
Right.
You know, then you have Fred, who, you know, my girl, Amy Acker.
Yeah.
Amy, we share a birthday. I love you. But you know, Fred, she goes from the thing that she was when they found her in the other dimension.
Pylea. Yeah.
Yeah. To, you know, what she becomes to
Lauren's
to
home dimension.
Yeah. Pylea was great.
Yeah. Well, Pylea, that's why I told you that I really didn't pick out favorite episodes for this, because it has really good arcs. The Pylea arc, it was a 3-episode arc, and it was really like a fun thing to see, because like Angel can walk around in sunlight because it's a demon dimension.
Right.
And that you get to see Lauren, why Lauren is in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Swath.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have Mercedes McNabb showing back up.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't even talk about her character on Buffy.
Yeah.
But like, she was turned into a vampire at graduation.
Right.
You know, and she shows up and you know, she eventually becomes a main character way down the line.
Yeah.
But she reoccurs and like, you can never trust her. And like, it was perfect.
Yeah. She pretty much is a betrayer all the way to the end,
even at the end.
Yeah,
you know, but no, it's just one of those things where like everyone knew who Angel was,
right?
And Angel was constantly playing catch up, and honestly, if it wasn't for Wesley and it wasn't for Gunn and it wasn't for Fred, you know, Angel and Cordelia had been killed off, you know, many times over,
right?
But and then the hotel, the hotel that he owned, which was hilarious.
Well, it was the hotel was an interesting thing, because I guess they just like needed a set piece. And I kind of remember like the story behind that was they needed a set piece that was a common ground for these people to gather at. And they wrote the story where Angel had pretty much had his memories wiped and he remembered the hotel, but he didn't remember what happened at the hotel. So they did a flashback story of him in the 50s, I think it was.
They did a couple of him in like the 20s, 30s, 40s.
It was the whole thing where it totally made sense for this character to have flashback stories once in a while, you know. It's like they did it every episode of the Highlander, and it's like you didn't have to do it every episode, but there were story arcs where you needed to see why Angel is the way Angel is.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have to do with Buffy or the Slayers or anything like that. It should have been, you know, pieces of his history after he got his soul and started to develop you know, and why he was where he was when he met Buffy. I mean, you know, the first time when he was still like kind of a homeless guy and all that. It's like you got to see
why was he eating rats?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And again, the other thing is just the pedigree of the people behind the scenes on the show, right?
Pretty much the same crew.
Well, but even with more, because you had Stephen S. DeKnight, you had Ben Edlund, you had Drew Goddard, you had Sean Ryan from The Shield. Sean Ryan wrote a bunch of great episodes.
Created the Tick.
Yeah.
So,
Drew Goddard, who's done a ton of stuff. He did Cloverfield.
Everybody that came out of the Joss Whedon school pretty much has had success since then.
But, Stephen DeKnight with Spartacus and Daredevil. It's just, you know, you look at like a.
But I mean, even the cast, it's like, you know, it, I mean, well, Amy Acker went on to be on Person of Interest for like, you know, the pretty much the whole run of the show.
I mean, we were introduced to Summer Glau on this show, as the Prima Ballerina episode. But no, you look at, so I know you're not like huge into like football and sports, right? But like, if you look at like, it's called a coaching tree.
Right.
So, and if you look at Joss Whedon's coaching tree.
Oh, yeah.
It's way more impressive than anything. That's the most impressive thing about him is the talent he's helped foster.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Because his brother and Marissa, what they're doing on S.H.I.E.L.D. this season is fantastic. But like, you look at these other people who.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing that like we talked about with Deep Space Nine, where it's like, you know, the people who came out of that, who went on to run like some of the best shows that were on TV in the early 2000s. You know, it's just one of those things where they picked talent really well. Mm-hmm. And these people developed, you know, I mean, what David Fury was running the show at the end. Joss was just coming in and out, writing episodes and that. But it was like David Fury, I think, was running pretty much day-to-day operations the last couple of years. And it's like, yeah, you could tell definitely that Joss did not have his hands in this one that much.
And I mean, that
like
that
you
showed,
said, the characters developed more.
And it showed from the tone. It showed from the language.
Right.
You know, with David Fury, right? He did the puppet episode where, you know, the little puppets were using him as a puppet.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Joss Whedon would have never done that.
Yeah.
You know? And not to bash.
Just
I'm not
to bring
bashing,
Angel
you know?
In as a vampire puppet.
Yeah.
And like the teeth pop down. It's David Boreanaz had to read that episode and go, this isn't really happening.
Like, I want that puppet. Like, or like a stuffed
version.
Oh, they
sold
I know
that.
They did.
Like, I think Dark Horse or somebody sold that
like,
for a long time.
I'll every once in a while just like start singing the self-esteem song.
Yeah.
You know, just randomly.
It's just there was like light episodes like that where you were just like,
but it wasn't light.
It was, but you it know, wasn't.
It was light in the fact that there was songs and there was puppets, but it was dark in the fact that television was sucking the soul out of children.
Yeah.
Literally.
Just the whole thing of him walking with the group behind him with a sword over his shoulders. So, and it's just like,
just the tiny little puppet getting his Kermit on. I liked how he had the three fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so good. And then, you know, the other stuff.
Spike.
You know, well,
you're
Spike.
A wee puppet.
Yeah. And then he attacks him.
Yeah.
You know? But no, so you had that. Like, Spike, with the addition of Spike and Lindsay, the way Lindsay used Spike at first.
Yeah.
With his quote-unquote visions. And, you know, Spike thought he was the chosen one and... You know, the battle for the chalice, and it was Mountain Dew, you know, which was funny.
This was a very strong cast, and, you know, I mean, you've got people out of this show that show up on, I mean, Vincent Carthaser that played Connor was on Mad Men.
Yeah, he was the only person I knew on Mad Men.
Yeah, I mean, Marsters is around still. Christian Kane's on everything now.
He was on, what was it, Leverage?
And he's currently on
really
The Librarians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, Julie Benz. Mm-hmm. She's on Hawaii Five-0
right now.
She was
on Dexter for so long.
Exactly. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Kim.
Yeah.
Who's also on Hawaii Five-0. They're like, those two are playing like lovers or something on Hawaii Five-0. And it's like,
cool.
Ah, you both came from Angel. It's like, that's cool.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, it was a good, solid cast, you know, that they brought in. Mm-hmm. people that had been around. I mean, Sam Anderson was like the boss of Wolferman Hart. Right. He eventually showed up on Lost.
Yep.
And that he'd been around and everything. I mean, like well, Sawyer, Juliet Landau.
Yeah.
I mean, they used Spike as a main character, but I would have liked to seen Drusilla be a main character.
The way they did with Drusilla and Darla in the second season,
yeah,
was just it was so spot on because Drusilla got lucid,
yeah,
and you know was like, hey, wait, let's kill all these people, let's not work with them, let's just straight up murder them.
Well, it was that whole thing where she made Darla back into a vampire, and it was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you go from being, she called her grandmother.
Right.
You know, she sired Spike or Angel, and Angel sired Drusilla, so she called her grandmother all the time, and then she re-sired her, and it's like, okay. It's like, that's cool. That's cool business right there. I mean, you know, Faith on there was like
again a character who got to grow.
Yeah,
like and there was talk like up until like even a year or two after the show got canceled of a Faith spinoff.
Yep,
which you know, like Dollhouse in a way kind of like should have been. No, like Dollhouse should have been a Faith spinoff.
Well, yeah, it was a thing where it's like, you know, yeah, at least Joss was like good enough to bring her into a show.
Yeah, but like Dollhouse focused on the complete wrong character. Yeah. It should have focused on Hilo's character.
Yeah.
And not
Tom Pennington.
Yeah. Not a person who's a different character every week. Because there was just nothing. And you know, like we like Eliza Dushku.
Yeah.
Like, she's a hard actress to like really like. You know?
I mean, I've liked her pretty much in everything.
I mean,
she's
we like her in what we see her in, right? But like, do you go out of your way for like her movies and things like that?
No, I mean, it's just one of those things where she shows up and stuff and you're like, oh hey,
like if you hear, oh, she's leading a TV show, it's like it's not like I have to watch it.
I think it was more the fact of the concept sounded interesting to me. Yeah. So it was like, yeah, I'd want to check this out. And then I'm like, oh, Elijah and Tomo, you know.
But her version of Faith through Angel, like all the way through Angel, was so good.
Well, and went back to Buffy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that character went back to Buffy because of Angel.
Right.
And at least the first year was the only time they really used the Buffy showing up every other episode.
Well, and it was really only a couple.
It was like two or three, yeah.
And the one, it made sense.
Yeah.
So, and that was the last time we saw her.
Yeah.
But, and they mentioned her, and like Willow came down
for an episode. Well, and you know, Angel goes back to Buffy a few times. Well, so.
And it makes more sense for him to go there than Buffy to come to him. But yeah.
This show, you know, it was a strong show, and like you said, it had the same curse, but this Serenity crossovers because Gina Torres and Adam Baldwin show up.
But they were used, in my mind, perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, Gina Torres is beautiful, and to have her being the demon-y goddess thing who, you know, can
Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine. But who can like, whammy you with a look, right?
Yeah.
But then when you see what she really looks like with the maggots and stuff,
it's terrible.
Well, first off, it's horrifying. And like, you know, I almost threw up a little bit just thinking about it.
Right.
But, you know, that was great. And the way she got everyone under her skin and, you know, or under their skin, got under everyone's skin.
She had them under the spell of her power.
But, you know, in the beauty of that was Vincent, how do you say his last name? Carthasar.
I'm pretty sure that's how you're saying it.
Is Connor, his character.
Yeah.
Who is Angel and Darla's son.
Right.
Who's like a superpower. Like, essentially, he's Blade without having to have blood.
Yeah.
You know, and white.
Right.
And a whiny teenager with floppy hair.
Okay.
But, I mean, it made his character, you know, it gave that character a reason to really not like Angel, especially after the fact.
Yeah.
Because he was lost the entire time when as a baby he was kidnapped by a guy who Angel had killed his family
and achieved
immortality. So we went and kidnapped Angel's kid, takes him to another dimension, raises him as his own,
right,
sends him back to kill Angel. So he never really fully trusted Angel, right?
Right.
And then they kind of get to this thing where they're okay with each other, and then Jasmine comes along. and you know, it made it so Angel had to make some really tough decisions on how to handle Connor. Kind of like on Arrow with Thea.
Yeah. Right?
With the bloodlust and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
Like Connor had that essentially, and Angel had to figure out how to deal with it.
And erases his memories
eventually. Well, and eventually does. Which was, you know, again, the world's saddest puppy vampire has to make his life harder than it needs to be at all times.
Well, when they did it, they made it where he did see him like on a normal basis. Yeah. And that, so it was one of those things where he wasn't totally sad. He just, you know, had to deal with, he couldn't have his son with him.
Right.
And that, and then eventually by the end of the series, Connor starts remembering.
Right. Well, I mean, Wesley does the thing that unleashes all of Connor's memories.
Right. But well, I mean, at the end, he didn't have all his memories. Like he explains it to Angel that he remembers that time.
Right.
But it's kind of like a dream because right. he also has the memories that, you know, Angel had him
implanted with.
And he's like, you know, I know you're my dad. And that, and he goes, then I remember stuff. He goes, but it's just like a dream. And yeah. that, and then
and
he
I've
comes,
got to go back to my life.
Right. He's like, I've got my own life. But at the end, he comes in mm-hmm. to help Angel like kick Marcus's ass yeah. all over the place.
So, and Marcus and was Adam Baldwin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was, other than John Casey on Chuck.
Yeah.
This is my favorite Adam Baldwin role.
Well, like, he's playing pretty much the hand of Wolfram right. Hart. And that, and it's, I like the like end where he tells him, he goes, I am the blood of Wolfram mm-hmm. and Hart. And he goes, oh, well, then I know how to solve this problem. Well, and literally it, bites
well,
him.
The best thing, he goes, what's the one word you shouldn't have said there?
Blood.
But so this show went 5 seasons. They thought they were going to get a 6th.
Yeah.
And like, you know, because the ratings were doing well.
Sure,
and then the WB decided to cancel it because I think that was right around the time they were getting ready to merge with UPN and become the CW.
Probably, yeah.
And Angel just, there wasn't room for Angel on the CW.
Yeah.
Even just for one season, there just wasn't room for it. And they were lucky enough to get enough heads up where they were able to truncate an entire season's worth of storyline into about 6 episodes. Yeah. And I'm so happy that that happened.
Blackthorn, the Circle of the Blackthorn.
Because if that would have gone for 22 episodes...
It would have been a little rougher.
It would not have been nearly as powerful as what it was. And the wholesale carnage that came along with the last 3 episodes of the series was fantastic.
The death and dismemberment of lots of vampires and other people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had Lorne doing his last bit as an assassin for Angel.
Yep.
Which, you know, he had promised he wasn't going to do. And then he did what he had to do, and he told him, he's like, you're never going to see me again.
Yeah.
I'm out of here, you know? That was great.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things where, you know, they had Lorne probably do the, like, worst job you could ever do.
Yeah.
It's like, gosh, you know, he takes out...
Lindsay,
yeah. It's just like, wow, okay. That was probably the most unexpected thing in that finale.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the whole thing with, and you know, this show's been off the air for how many years? So spoilers, Wesley dying.
It's 12 years since it was on the air. So.
I mean, when Wesley dies, it's like, wow, you know, kind of the way he should have went out.
He went out as a hero.
Yeah. And having Illyria
mm-hmm.
turn back into Fred
just for the moment,
yeah,
you know,
was really cool. And then punching the head off of the guy who killed him was even better.
And so the Circle of the Black Thorn, right? It was like vampires and demons and
it was like that. Literally like everybody.
Best makeup on those guys,
a U.S.
right?
senator,
yeah. Like the makeup was great, yeah. And well, she was again. The humans were the worst people on the show,
yeah.
Yeah,
this whole series, like, you know, I think like toward the end of Buffy and into this series took the advantage of mm-hmm. it. There was a lot of great makeup done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the budget for the makeup people was probably very high because like on Angel, unlike Buffy, where you've seen a demon of the week or a mm-hmm. monster of the week, on Angel, there were people like when Lorne had his bar and it was, you know, the karaoke bar. And there were creatures in the background where you're like, what is that
thing? At Wolfram and Hart, just walking around. There was stuff
literally like clients of the lawyers. It's like, what is that thing in the background? Yeah. You know, it was a fun show for that type of thing.
So let's talk about Illyria.
Yeah.
Because Illyria was a very interesting just choice for them to do, right?
Yeah. Kill a character off, but keep the actress. Yeah.
But not only to keep her, but to keep her likeness.
Yeah.
Just kind of changed. I love how Spike called her the Blue Meanie.
Yeah.
But you got, like, for the first time, you got Amy Acker using her real voice.
Yeah.
You got her hair, like, all flowing and down, kind of how she wore it at the time. You got to see her kick all sorts of ass because she was a god.
Yeah.
Like, she was like Gozer, the Carpathian, essentially.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, she'd been around since humans were premortal ooze.
Yeah,
and you know she
and I think
she had a really hard time with her.
She was a he, yeah, she before, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But you know, when Illyria just didn't understand like niceties and things like that.
Well, she would turn into Fred, similar to like Jerry Ryan playing Seven of Nine. They both kind of played that role up where, you know, it was just the whole thing of the emotion. And not understanding humans that well, you know, she still had memories of Fred, but
right,
you know, she was her own character and her own person, and I think that was a similar thing that Jerry Ryan dealt with the Seven of Nine character.
Well,
on Voyager.
Fred was literally destroyed, like in flame for her to be born, which was Nox doing that,
yep.
And Nox was just was Fred's lab tech, essentially.
Yeah.
And he loved
had
her.
A crush on her.
And he did this because he loved her, which, you know, was, again, very interesting.
Yeah.
But no, the spell that Angel did to erase Connor's memories changed everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, yeah, they by the end of that whole thing, Cordelia was in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that, you know, too rough for Angel to deal with because of, you know, Connor and Cordelia were Jasmine's mother and father.
Right.
And it was just a bad thing all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was changed everybody and made people question who they were.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And man, put them in charge of Wolfram and Hart.
I mean, honestly, like, they got that. I did like when they went to burn the contract, and Lila's like, you know, if flames burned anything, it wouldn't be eternal. It was like, you know, just those little moments there. You know, the other thing is the characters, they would make compromises.
Yeah.
Where on Buffy, Buffy did not compromise.
Right.
She was an unyielding force of nature.
Yeah.
Who, for good or bad.
These people were like, Buffy wasn't human.
Right.
She's a slayer. A slayer is not a human. In my book,
right.
You know, they're supernaturally powered and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were around her just were following suit with whatever she decided.
Right.
Whereas, like, nobody ever totally agreed with Angel.
No.
On Nashir.
Well, because he was, you know, a 200 plus year old man who has a very skewed sense of what the world is and what his idea of humanity
is. Well, and plus Wesley and Cordelia knew his history.
Right.
They had seen him as Angelus at one point or another.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, you know, it was the thing where, you know, Gunn was his own man already. Mm-hmm. So, and watched his sister die because she became a vampire and everything else. And
Fred was trapped in Pylea.
Fred had survived
in
Pylea
for
however long she was there. And it's like, you know, yeah, everybody on this show had already been their own person.
Yeah, they were adults.
It wasn't like what Buffy, Joss always said that Buffy was definitely the evolution of age, you know, with high school and stuff like that and people becoming who they are as adults. Whereas this show was just, they're already adults.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to show them growing because they've already become who they were.
No, you don't have to show them growing. You show them. Well,
you show them evolving.
You show them, transitioning and
right.
You know,
it's not the growing; it's the evolving. Yeah. You know what happens when you meet new friends,
right? The way these people coupled off too was more interesting. You know, you had You had super straight laced Wesley with, you know, the sleeping with the enemy, literally.
Right. Yeah.
You had him, you had Wesley try and kill the baby.
Right.
At one point. And yep. then, you know, when he and Angel were at odds, that was great. And there was no reason he should have treated Wesley the way he did because of, you know, decisions he had made leading up to that.
Well, nothing with what Gunn and Fred's yeah. relationship developed in a somewhat romantic relationship.
I mean, they were together. They were
yeah.
a couple.
Yeah. And then, you know, and eventually weren't a couple. Right. So.
But they had broken up and then Wesley yeah. And she got together. So, but yeah.
I mean, it just all the way around, it was a cool show. There's like a cool little thing in there too, where there's the lady who runs the halfway house that Gunn
mm-hmm.
helps with, Anne.
Right.
She'd been on Buffy.
Yeah.
Like multiple times on Buffy.
She was the runaway girl.
She was the runaway girl so. When Buffy was pretending to be Anne.
Right.
And she eventually took the name.
Right.
And I thought that's a cool little, like, you know, like you see her and you're like, man, where have I seen her before? Yeah. And it's like, you go back and check and you're like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then you had the other part of this, the werewolf girl.
Oh, his girlfriend.
Angel's girlfriend yeah. at the end.
What,
when
not Lila. What was her
Lisa?
Name? I forget.
Anyway, but let's not worry about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, you had his werewolf girlfriend, and you know, that for him was a way to be himself.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about, you know, losing control. And at the same time, it was someone for him to protect. Because he loved protecting people.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, it's fun. The second to last episode or whatever, where he buys her entire family tickets to get out of town.
Right.
Because he knows what's coming. And it's like, she even says, like, I've never had a boyfriend buy me a ticket out of town and my whole family.
Right, yeah, no kidding. Wait a second. But no, all right, you want to talk about the finale as we close out?
Sure.
Because to me, this is one of the most epic finales ever.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's a cool finale that has a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, it's called Not Fade Away.
Yeah.
And they've literally waged war on the Circle of the Black Thorn at this point. And this is their whole plan coming to fruition. They have waged war against the senior partners of Wolfram and Hart.
Yeah.
And they know moving forward with what they want to do, like, hell will literally rain down on them.
Right, yeah.
And the way they pull this off, the, like, you know, the thing with Lindsay getting killed, or, you know, Lauren assassinating Lindsay.
Right.
You know, you have Marcus showing up to fight Angel.
Yeah.
You have Wesley getting his actual warlock on for the first time, really using
yeah,
like hardcore
showing
magic.
That he actually knows how to use yeah. magical powers.
You know, you have Gunn going to the senator's office and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Illyria just killing the whole car full of demons.
Yeah, it doesn't even show what she does. It just shows the car destroyed, and you're like, wow.
Well, the best thing is they get in the car and they turn the lights on, and you know, it's the thing where
right
the lights
there.
Come up, and she's like in that pose and like the action pose.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, you see her walking away, and there's like the
crushed
car, and
it's, car pretty much.
And there's like smoke and flames.
But the thing that was cool is, like, you know, because this was pretty much a three-part finale,
right?
Was that you started to like the bad guys.
You did. Like, when was Angel, like, was like undercover.
Yeah.
Like, you're,
they're
like,
all sitting around the table having a talk.
They're,
and it's
playing,
like,
he's playing squash with the devil.
Heck?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the sitting around and having, you know, drinks and all that. And it's yeah. like, okay, these people are kind of cool, mm-hmm. but you know, they're really bad.
Yeah. Angel signs away his prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, which was cool, which we haven't
the
really talked about that.
Prophecy.
Yeah.
Where,
like, that
yeah.
was really big, like, the second season.
Yeah.
But, like, then it kind of went away.
I called BS when he signed it off, because I'm like, his name's not Angel. He signs it Angel.
His name's Liam.
Yeah. And I'm like, you signed that Angel. Your name's yeah. not Angel.
And wasn't his name Angelus when it was put on him?
Yeah,
in the
I think so.
Anyway,
yeah.
You can argue all day, but the final scene,
yeah,
and we've kind of gone back and forth about this all week. The hordes of hell, like,
yeah.
So Los Angeles gets sent to hell.
Yep.
So, like, think of, you know, the Hellmouth opening up in Sunnydale.
Right.
But instead of destroying, like, instead of them sinkholing it, like, you know, the city falls in.
Right.
You have these hordes of demons, like, streaming towards the hotel. And, you know, you have a, you see the dragon, or you hear the dragon wings.
Yeah.
I don't think we see it.
Oh,
remember.
You see him.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you do. That's yeah. right. And he's awesome looking. And, you know, you have them meet up. Angel's there. And then Gunn shows up. And then Illyria shows up.
Well, no, Spike's there. Oh, and yeah, Angel Spike shows up there. And goes, well, are you the only one that, yeah, that has right. made it? He's like, I'm the only one so far. And then Gunn comes running yeah. up and he's
but
bleeding
he's,
out.
Yeah, because he had killed like the Office of Vampires.
Yeah, and then Illyria drops down from a fire escape.
From who
and
knows
it's like,
where, yeah.
Get your Batman on.
Yeah. And it's great because she looks at him. She goes, you'll be dead within minutes.
Yeah.
This does not please me.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so then it's, you know, your favorite line.
Oh, yeah. The thing about the dragon.
Yeah, where he's like,
I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to slay the dragon.
Yeah. And then
I'm like, yes, please.
So, you know, and so this Angel continued on into comics just like Buffy. First with Dark Horse, then with IDW.
No, it was IDW.
Oh, sorry, other way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where I say, you know, what is the real legitimate, like,
I think both.
Continuation.
Because it's all the same story.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember being all the same.
In the comic, he makes friends with the dragon
yeah.
and rides it all around hell, saving people.
Yeah, but so. I mean, like, the current book that Dark Horse was doing was Angel and Faith.
Yeah,
so
but that's right. that's in line with the Buffy continuity, so
right.
it's this.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like that continuity that was IDW continuity. Yeah. Does it count or not? Because the continuity is different with the Dark Horse continuity.
Yeah. So I would think parts of it probably are and parts
I would
of it
rather have seen him slay the dragon.
Yeah, well, he's Angel.
That way he could be Angel the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, there you go. But no, all in, like, I think the production value on the show, because it was a smaller scale than Buffy,
yeah.
really, was better. Like, the sets were better. The
it wasn't like, it was more expanded than Buffy because they actually went out on the streets.
Yeah.
And it's like Los Angeles was a character.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Sunnydale was there, but Sunnydale seemed to be an ever-expanding
right.
thing where Los Angeles, we know, is mm-hmm. what it is. You know, an island unto its own.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it was its own character in the series. So, you know, like I said, you had the homeless shelter. You had characters that just popped up for like a couple episodes.
Right.
And that was all you ever seen of them. So, you know, it was just what you would expect a fictional Los Angeles to be, with demons and monsters and
mm-hmm.
vampires and all that. Because, I mean, there was people like creatures walking the street and it's like, oh, that's normal.
Yeah, well, it's LA.
Yeah, right. Know? Yeah, exactly.
And they shot in LA.
And that's what I mean. Know, it's yeah. like, yeah, they literally made, they were smart about it and made the city a character in the series. I mean, especially when they went out and actually shot on the streets and that.
Yeah. No, I definitely, and I like the detective, like the kind of the noir aspect of
yeah.
the show. I liked the detective agency. It was
right.
fun watching them fumble around for clients and for money. And,
yep.
you know, like, you know, it wasn't like one of those things where it's like, well, how do these people make money? They were constantly like,
well
we need money for this.
Cordelia was the
or
best
that.
One because she, you know, she even said it to Angel. She goes, why didn't you save money? Like,
yeah.
you've been alive for this long. It's like, why don't you have like a portfolio and that? And it's like, you know. Dude never thought of that.
No, because you see other vampires who are super wealthy.
Oh, yeah,
like even
yeah.
Spike. Spike
yeah.
has money. You know?
Yeah.
Spike doesn't have to work.
Right.
But yeah, no, Angel just doesn't think about that.
Yep.
Angel's not a big picture guy.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think this show is more timeless than Buffy.
Yeah.
Like I totally like last week I went back about, you know, Buffy not holding up.
Right.
I was wrong.
Buffy holds up, but Buffy still has limitations to it that Angel did not
Buffy
have.
Is firmly entrenched in 90s style and language.
Yeah.
Angel is L.A.
Yeah.
at a specific time.
Well, but, and not even a specific time, because I think like you could watch it now and go, L.A. is still a strange place.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing against L.A. Never been there and all that.
It's
but
a, it's a neat
you know,
city.
It has a reputation as being an unusual
yeah.
place because, you know, it has unusual characters.
Mm-hmm.
In it. I mean, you know, same thing with New York City. It's kind of an unusual place.
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, it was a character, and they knew how to play with the character. So, you know.
All right. Last words?
Oh, no. I think I'm good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, we're the Infamous Podcast. We have new episodes every Friday and occasionally on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Which we will be doing the search for Spock soon, maybe next week.
A couple weeks, yeah.
Anyway, I'm Brian. You can find me at Brian Tudor on most social networks.
Johnny Podorf on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. And the Infamous Podcast is at infamouspodcast.com. And it's Infamous Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. If you need to contact us, it's contact@infamouspodcast.com. And we would love to hear from you.
Yep.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right. Johnny's going to go slay the dragon.
Yes.
Later.